This is, of course, one of our national holiday weekends when we have the opportunity to remember. I think for a lot of the nation, the unfortunate reality is it is the opportunity to have a Monday off, sleep in, and grill out. But of course, this is not necessarily the function of a Memorial Day weekend. The function of a Memorial Day weekend is to remember. To remember what it is that we as a nation hold sacred. And I want to say a few things about our nation here briefly. Because the United States is a lot of things, but equally importantly, it is not a lot of things. What is it not? Well, it's not like many other nations on our planet. Let's say you go to Norway. You go to Norway and you walk around and you just take notes. You're like, what are the Norwegians like? You know, one of the things you'll probably write down is, well, they're mostly blonde-haired, blue-eyed, really tall, and they make really great furniture. Maybe you go to Turkey. You write down your observations. You say, well, there are a lot of dark-haired, dark-skinned individuals, and they have hilarious ways of serving ice cream. Which, if you've never watched a video of a traditional Turkish ice cream vendor, it's kind of performance art and it's vaguely hilarious. I highly recommend it. If you were to go to Hong Kong, you might see a lot of folks who look like exactly what you think folks from Hong Kong are going to look like. And all of them will be speaking languages endemic to their nations. And they have been. For thousands and thousands of years, those Norwegians that have those beautiful blonde hair, blue-eyed, fairly typical Scandinavian slash Viking appearances, they've been like that for thousands and thousands of years. But we here in the United States, your average American who's had any sort of lineage go back for more than a few generations here in America, well, for lack of a better word, we're mutts. We're English, Scottish, Turkish, Chinese, Ghanese. We've got a little bit of everything somewhere in our genetics, and if you've ever done one of those genetic tests and you start looking through and you go, I'm 15% Danish? I did not know that. No wonder I like breakfast pastries. There's no way to know. So we can't look around and go, what makes an American American is that we are of American ethnicity. Because there's no such thing as American ethnicity. Because we're from everywhere on the planet. We can't even say that we speak a language that defines our nation because, historically speaking, Americans have spoken all sorts of languages. I say that with absolute confidence because my grandmother got kicked out of kindergarten. She got kicked out of kindergarten because she didn't speak English. She only spoke German. Her father and her grandfather only spoke German there in Toledo where she grew up. We're a nation that can't define itself by its externals. We can't look at an appearance and say, oh, look at that person over there. They must be American. They look like an American. Can't do it. Because that's not what defines us. If in your childhood, and I strongly suspect pretty much everybody here had this experience, at some point you pledged allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the nation for which it stands, and all that goes with that, you made that pledge not to an ethnicity, not to a language, not even to a government, because we change our government every couple of years, don't we? I mean, in theory, we do. Lord knows we're coming up on one of those years where we're going to change our government again, because that's how our system's built. Every 4 to 8 years, we pretty much shift the whole system. So what is it we pledge allegiance to? What is it that makes the United States the United States? What is it for which all of these individuals who put in military service, who offered their lives for us in military service, were there to defend? They were there to defend ideals. We are a nation built on ideals. We are a nation where our founding fathers had the wisdom to understand that the ideals that they put forth for us, concepts like liberty, justice, freedom, that those things were perfect ideals. And that as a nation, we would always have to be reminded to strive further. Because they're perfect ideals and we're not perfect people. That means there will always be another generation of Americans who need to strive after a more perfect union. Because isn't that the phrasing they use, a more perfect union? This is our duty as Americans, is to perpetually be chasing the perfection of American ideals in order to be a place where all can truly live exactly as our founding fathers wanted us to live. What defines us? What makes us us is our dedication to the perpetual perfection of the ideals of freedom, liberty, justice, opportunity, hope. To be a nation dedicated to doing good. That is what makes an American, and nothing else. Because like I said, you know, my family is German, Dutch, Scottish, Irish, English, a little teeny tiny bit of Norwegian, and I don't know where that one came in, and just like a fraction of a half of a drop of a 16th of a fraction of Native American. That does not necessarily make me an American, but what makes me an American is my dedication to the ideals that our founding fathers set down before us. The individuals that go to serve in the United States military are there to protect and to defend those ideals. Rather specifically, as delineated in the United States Constitution, because I know that every single person that goes into military service at some point makes a vow to defend the Constitution of the United States. As do all of our elected officials, even our lawyers, to defend that which is right and just and true, and to ever strive more to achieve it. This is what Memorial Day reminds us to do. It reminds us that what it means to remember all of the service of all of those individuals who offered themselves so wholly, freely, and completely for us is that we, as the citizenry of the United States of America, are called upon to strive after those goals that we have been freed and emboldened to strive after. That we have been defended in order that we might live out. The best way for us to remember those who have offered themselves for us. And there's nothing wrong with all the other ways that we do. Flowers are marvelous, poppies are great, videos are wonderful, songs are tremendous. We should take up all of that as an act of practice in remembering and being thankful. But the most important way that we live that out is to strive for the ideals that our nation was designed to reflect. And we have. And we've done marvelous things in the last couple hundred years. And I imagine over the next couple hundred years, we will continue to do marvelous things. As long as we keep those ideals first and foremost in our minds. I was having a lunch a while ago with the president of the Lutheran Church of South Sudan. He was here to speak. You all probably remember him being here. We'd had a very long, in-depth lunch where we were talking about theology, we were talking about church, spoke a lot about the situation of the Lutheran Church in South Sudan, what had made it so challenging for the Christian Church in South Sudan, a nation which was, at least on paper, a Christian nation. I mean, this is the official religion of South Sudan. And yet it was a place completely torn apart by civil war. And I was talking about the fact that so many of the Lutherans who are part of the Lutheran Church of South Sudan are in refugee camps all around Africa, rather specifically many of them in Ethiopia. Difficult times, hard to get the requirements of day-to-day life. And I said to the president, I said, if I were to be praying for your denomination and your congregations, what would be the number one thing that you would want me and my congregation to be praying about? What is it that you feel is the greatest threat to your people? And I'm wondering if he's going to say, well, more civil war is probably on its way. Or if he's going to say, well, you know, it's really hard for us to get food or water or supplies. He says, and he thought about it for a moment. He says, pray for us. Pray for us that we might be kept safe from false doctrine. False doctrine. It's a false doctrine, he says, false teaching. He says it's hard. It's hard to maintain our focus on the most important thing for us, which is, of course, our faith as Christians in the midst of all of this conflict. Because it is easy for those that prey on others in the midst of times of trial and chaos to prey on my people, to convince them of false doctrines. False teachings, everything from prosperity gospels to native religions. He says, what is most important for you to be praying for us is that we stay focused on the purity of the gospel and proclaiming that message to our neighbors and living it out in every way, shape, and form that we can live it out every day. And I remember thinking to myself, here's a man who has himself been displaced from his home by a civil war in which over 50% of the clergy of the Lutheran Church of South Sudan were murdered. His people are living in refugee camps. And when I say to him, what is it that is most important? He says, help me by praying for my people in order that they might keep their hearts and minds in Christ and Christ alone, and that they not be distracted by those who would teach false doctrine. He understood exactly what it was his job was. He was the leader of the people who worship God. He was in charge of the well-being of those who were his to care for. And he understood that at the very apex, the very top of what defined them as a people, wasn't that they were Sudanese, wasn't even a language, because apparently they speak 58 distinctive dialects that are untranslatable from one to the other in the nation of South Sudan. 58. Imagine ordering in a restaurant when you had to figure out which one of 58 languages your waiter spoke. No. What defined them as a people was their faith in God and their understanding of who God is. And of course, we set aside one Sunday every year, Holy Trinity Sunday, when we remember that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God, the Father, is not the Son, that the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is not the Father. That Jesus is holy and completely God. The Father is holy and completely God. The Holy Spirit is holy and completely God, and yet the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And if that makes sense to you, and you can say to me, yes, that I can completely see how that is perfectly logical, that God is always Father, always Son, always Holy Spirit, and yet always only one God. If you can say to me after church, yes, I fully understand that, then I need you to come by the office Monday morning and explain it to me. Because I have never met anyone in my life with a human brain that can go, yep, I understand exactly how that works. Because it is a mystery. But it is a mystery that defines us. It is a mystery that defines who we are. We are those who love, serve, and are devoted to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune, the three in one, the singular God who is yet three people. And that God has higher ideals for us that soar well beyond anything our founding fathers could have ever written, even though they themselves We're inspired by the scriptures. We are those who serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we are those who are called to worship our Father in heaven. It is at the very heart of who we are. It is our identity. It is our purpose. It is the point of our existence. We are defined by our belief. And we are defined by our belief in the purity of that belief. Enough so that Christians halfway across the planet facing war and famine, refugee camps and trials that we can't even begin to imagine, still hold that as the single greatest truth upon which to build their lives. So on this Memorial Day Sunday, I would say to you all, hold to your ideals. Remember that it is our ideals that define us. What we believe at the core of our being will determine how we behave, shape how we talk, influence how we treat our neighbors. It is the very heart of what makes us us. Whether it's how you are a citizen of the United States of America, remembering, or whether you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, worshiping, what you hold most dear and sacred defines you. The individuals who served in the United States military, especially those who gave their lives in combat, we remember them on Memorial Day. We remember that they did not go into the military service lightly, because there's nothing light about it. They did so with great determination in order to defend something, something worth something. May we be a nation that continues to make the sacrifice that they made worth the while. As we gather here, we recognize that there was one and only one who made a sacrifice for the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, he says, just as the snake was lifted up in the wilderness, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up for the salvation of all this world. We gather together to remember that the ultimate sacrifice made for us and for God's kingdom was made by Christ and Christ alone. And in that we remember every Sunday and hopefully every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that we are those whom God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gave of himself wholly and completely for. Amen.